subgroups. So there are some people here that came here to work, and they're currently working in the black sector, the black economy, so to say. Others are here because they have a child who does have a Dutch nationality, and they want to see them grow up. And others are here because they are stuck in limbo. So this is the group that I just described as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you already started with the schools or education programs for them?
We didn't start a program, but what we do is we contact schools and institutions, and we try and ask them, are there possibilities to allow undocumented to participate in your course? And so that's basically what we do. But because it's against the law, it's a bit hard.
Does it work all the time?
No, yeah, exactly. And there are fines, especially concerning employment, it's really hard. There are fines that can amount to up to 8,000 euros, depending on the type of work and the kind of institution. So we have to sometimes, we cannot always make things public, so to say. Yeah.
Yeah, but how do they survive? I mean, what is the income they get?
So some people they do have works, but they work in the black economy, so they can support themselves. Others are supported by family members, and then again, others are supported by these NGOs. For example, in Wageningen, where I worked, we gave leefgeld, so living compensation to live. Basically, that's what we called it, which was 60 euros
a week
per 2 weeks. So that's basically nothing. But we also gave them a room. So we paid for that room, and then they had 30 euros a week to survive. And this is a problem. This is why we also started it. These people are stuck in this kind of dependency relation. So this is unhealthy. So what we want is that they are that they can just live their lives and participate, take care of themselves, take care of their children. That's what we want. So that's why we started. Well,
you mentioned problems. I mean, when you're undocumented refugees, I mean,
yeah,
you don't have the right to study or to work.
Yeah, and if you're if you're rejected by society,
exactly,
from all these aspects, the problem is there are a lot of problems. So, firstly, mental problems. A lot of them have, for example, a higher chance of psychoses and post-traumatic stress disorder and all kinds of other things. And if you cannot do anything, sometimes there's also a problem with drug abuse, alcohol abuse, all that stuff. So,
Considering the legal stuff.
Yes.
Because what Anderslag is doing is fostering actually the human rights movement, you know, because if refugees don't have access to education and social cultural life, so
it's a violation of
human rights. So
exactly,
how do you deal with this as an organization? What kind of awareness that you want to raise? And
I guess the human rights framework somehow legitimizes what we do. We say it's in our opinion, the Dutch national government is violating human rights. So they are violating Article 23 and Article 26 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. So for us, it legitimizes what we do. That's basically, we try, and it's a way of convincing other people to give access to education. It's a way of talking sense out of people, maybe. Yeah.
And if you talk to politicians, for example, Dutch politicians, about these violations, so what are the official statements given by the government concerning these issues?
Yeah, so, the national government is afraid of a pull factor. They are afraid that people will come here if we make it too easy to live in illegality or whatever.
But even mobility is a human right, according
yes,
to
mobility.
The declaration. So
exactly, the
so
Charter of Palermo.
Exactly in Palermo. So he make it very clear about this, our right to mobilize in a world,
yeah.
Okay, beyond borders. Maybe it's a very romantic idea, but at the same time, it's our right.
Yeah,
so
personally,
yeah.
I'm also a global liberal. I think that we live in some kind of global apartheid, because
can you translate into English?
Global apartheid. It's institutionalized that some people have more rights than others, depending on where you were born, and
mm-hmm.
this is something that that I find very, very upsetting, and I think that we should challenge this idea. And but as a campaign, as a lobby campaign, we also try to be really tactical and strategic. And so, for example, we also use kind of right-wing arguments to back up our case. So what we say in our manifesto is that if you basically reject people from participation in society, that these people also will wander around in streets and roam around the streets, and this will cause all kinds of public problems, you know, with they will become a burden, so to say. This is not what I personally these are not the arguments why we do it, but it's a way of convincing kind of right-wing voters, I guess, that this system is not working. And we lobbied also at the D66 political party, and they accepted or adopted a motion that they are now in favor of granting undocumented refugees and migrants the opportunity to follow all kinds of courses. So these are really tiny steps that we are kind of making. Yeah.
Do you believe in changing the system? I mean, how big is your hopes or beliefs?
I think there are, on the one hand, we see now that Trump has gained power, so to say, and a lot of people didn't expect that. But if that is possible, I think the other side is also possible. So if his ideals can be achieved, then perhaps also our ideals can be achieved. They're not as naive as we may think. And I think a lot of people on a local level realize that since they are faced with these people, so the cities and the municipalities and the local policymakers, they realize that they have a duty to take care of these people, and they realize that it will be against human rights to not provide them with shelter and to not allow them to follow education. And so I think our hope is kind of invested on a local, decentral level, so that the cities. And what we would like is actually to promote some sort of city deal in where cities together kind of agree on a different kind of system, where they do give these undocumented refugees and migrants the opportunities to work and study. And I think together as cities, they can face up to the government. That's our hope. And I think, Eindhoven has signed the manifesto, and Wageningen has also signed the manifesto. And the municipality of Eindhoven is also now lobbying in the VNG network, so to convince other municipalities to also sign the manifesto. So there is hope there.
Nice. And when, I mean, Eindhoven, they signed now. So when do you start, let's say, the procedure?
So I think before the end of this year, in Eindhoven, they will the elderman, so to say, has to report back to the council. What they are asking for is room for experimentation, so experimental room. And I think that this is the way we are. This is what we want right now. So we are trying to create room for experimentation in various cities, Eindhoven, Utrecht, Amsterdam, and The Hague. And we focus on these cities as an Anslag campaign because we have close contacts with these in these cities. And that's where we try to build these coalitions and try to build this room for experimentation, so to say. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about the target. I mean, what is the thing if you succeed with making it, you'll shut down and this left and then...
Okay, so, well, there are a couple of things, possible ways in which we could, in which the campaign could be successful. So firstly, we try to have this change in the law, so the net arbeid vermindering. But another possibility would be a system... the introduction of a special status. This is a system they are currently upholding in Germany. It's called Duldum, and it's I wrote it down as well. A temporary suspension of deportation status. And as time passes, and it turns out that an undocumented refugee or migrant cannot be deported, he or she builds up rights. So after a few months, he or she is able to work and to follow education. And after a few years even, he or she is given a residency permit. So I think that these kinds of systems, they are not perhaps the most idealistic systems, but they are perhaps realistic systems because they reflect in a better way the complexities of migration. It's too easy to just think that the deportation service can deport everyone because it's just not possible. So there are people here that cannot be deported, and the question we need to ask ourselves is, what do we do with these people? And I think that we shouldn't just limit ourselves to the discussion of the provision of housing, which is currently kind of in the political arena. They're discussing the Bed-Bad-Brot accord, so to say. But we should also talk about, okay, what kind of other rights should we give to these people? How should we treat them? How can they contribute to society, given that they are here, given that the complexity of migration, given that there are just people, 35,000 living in the Netherlands. So, yeah.
I want to ask you, how does a life of undocumented person looks like? You know, it looks like look like.
Oh, so it depends on the group we focus on. But I worked for an organization in Wageningen, and I felt my task was to look for housing, which is quite difficult. But my task was also to kind of visit our clients to ask if they had enough stuff, if they were in need of a microwave or you know, the things that they cannot buy because they only get 30 euros a week. And what we see is that they basically, some of them have mental problems, and others they do volunteering, and we even have one client that works. This is not allowed. I will not say who it is, but and you can see that people that are active in some way, that did find some kind of acceptance by their local community, that they feel much better, and that the people that are just really not active, they have problems. One guy always used to say to me, same old, same old. So every time I asked him how things were going, he would say, yeah, same old, because he cannot do anything. And I just felt really frustrated by this, because I came to know these people and I felt like I couldn't really do anything. But then I met other NGO representatives, and we were able to kind of initiate this campaign together. So.
Do you think that Anderslag is the only organization that works with undocumented refugees, or there is some kind of previous initiatives?
So there are multiple local NGOs working with this kind of group. And there's also a national platform, het Landelijk Ongedocumenteerde Steunpunt. And officially, Aan de Slag is also kind of a part of het Landelijk Ongedocumenteerde Steunpunt. As this is it's kind of the network of all these NGOs. I think there are 30 or 40. These are also religious organizations, so not only non-profit organizations. So there are many more organizations than just Aan de Slag. Yeah.
Karin, thank you for being with us here in Amsterdam at Art Weekend.
You're welcome.
And thank you for this precious information. It's really very viable, I think, mission in life to help people to actualize their inner being, actually, to live the life that they deserve to live.
Yeah, and I would like to also ask everybody to sign the manifesto, to look on our website, and to like us on Facebook and support our movement.
So they go to Aan de Slag in Facebook, for example?
Yeah, iedereenaandeslag.nl.
Yeah. Thank you so much, dear listeners. Thank you for being us in this amazing talk, and stay tuned.
You hit yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Of course.
It was live?
I think so, yes. Definitely.
หนังสือพิมพ์ครับฉบับเดียวบาทเดียวครับจงโปรดกรุณาเมตตาซื้อผมสักรายกว่าจะได้แต่ละบาทผมแทบจะขาดใจตายมีรถที่วิ่งปักไว้ผมหารายได้ด้วยความยากเข็ญหนังสือพิมพ์ครับหนังสือพิมพ์ครับไทยรัฐเดลินิวบางกอกนิวพิมพ์ไทยผมมีกำไรได้มาก็เพียงเปอร์เซ็นต์ช่วยอุดหนุนผมหน่อยเด็กน้อยที่แสนลำเข็นรถมาผมต้องวิ่งเต้นพอต้องเห็นใจเด็กขายหนังสือพิมพ์เร่ไปตามท้องถนนเกิดมายากจนหวังให้ทองอิ่มแต่ร้อนพ้นพรำพ้นทนกระตำทำหน้าแย้มยิ้มไม่ลักขโมยเรื่องคุกตารางผมไม่เคยชิมมิจฉาชีพผมไม่ลองลิ้มหากินคือปัดโดยดีหนังสือพิมพ์ครับหนังสือพิมพ์ครับฉบับใดเล่มใดก็มีขอจงปราณีเด็กที่หมดทางพึ่งใครเศษสตางค์แค่บาทท่านอาจอ่านได้กำไรเรื่องราวข่าวคราวเร็วไวขอจงเห็นใจเด็กขายหนังสือพิมพ์
wonder what an abrupt exit must feel like. How hard can it be just to pull the plug? And why all things dark must be experienced after I'm born and before I die. I feel conflicted by the cries of dying loons under insurgent moons. The anthropology of pain runs in my veins. Surrounded by friends, I fear a nothingness which nothing transcends. Oh, why is that point in my center so frail, precarious, out of control? And when I think that I've regained control at last, I'm lost inside my past, a love that haunted me back then, my bitter end. For shadows relentlessly pushing me over the edge. Within my reach, I dread that day. happening. All memory suddenly disappears like it was never there. Every recollection gone, forever gone. When our destiny lying beyond the grave, beyond the hope, can be called to play the role of saving grace. Keep me alive.
education.
Danger.
do mar, é só risada, gargalhada.